The views and opinions of shows on KCNR are those of the hosts, guests, and callers only, and do not necessarily reflect those of the staff, management, or advertisers of KCNR Radio.
We don't need any stinking music. This is Poke the Hornet's Nest with Nick Gardner.
And Doug Janke. How are you doing, Nick?
I'm doing as good as I can with the little bit I got left to work with. It's dwindling, just like my eyesight's getting fuzzy.
Well, you know, the thing is I like about you is you're at least honest when you say the little bit that you have. So at least you're being honest about it.
Hey, listen, let's start off this show today. We're pre-recording. This is Friday morning because Doug is going down to Thunder Hill and going to race with, who is it, Dale Earnhardt Jr.?
His long-lost plumber cousin's nephew's friend.
But he went for a ride with him one time.
Yeah, there you go.
Well, listen, we've got a new segment coming up we're going to try out. Right after the half-hour break, we're going to have Minutes with Maddie, or Maddie's Minutes. You remember Madeline, who came on about 4 weeks ago and discussed the conspiracy theories with us. And if you don't believe in the conspiracy theories, you just hope that she's right about everything she has to say. She's got a lot to say, so we decided to have her on every show after the half-hour break for 3 minutes, and we'll call it Maddie's Minutes.
I like it, Nick. That's new blood into the show here.
And if we don't like it, we just won't answer the phone. So, you know, we need to start off and correct the record about things we might have been mistaken about last week. I can't think of anything we were mistaken about. How about you, Doug?
Not that I remember. Like I told you before the show started, I thought I was wrong once, and then I was wrong about being wrong. So I think we're doing okay.
Yeah. So, you know, one thing I didn't make real clear, I was talking about the city council meeting and the people that were coming up to the podium and thanking the city council for the money that was pumped into the Goodwill Rescue Mission's rehab program. And I went out and I talked to somebody in authority, and I worded it wrong. One of my friends said they thought that I meant that the success rate was 80-85%. And, in fact, the failure rate of almost all rehabs is 80-85%. The success rate is 10-15%. And I went out and I approached this person and I said, is that true of this program? And he says, well, I don't know if it's quite that high, but it's quite a bit. So when they have this Good News Rescue Mission Shelter Forum, March 3rd at 8 a.m. till noon at the Civic Auditorium, which everybody should attend, they're going to have speakers there, and they're going to talk about what we are going to do with the homeless.
Oh, what's funny is our guest, Adam, of course, I work with him, so I've been with him every day this week, and we got talking a little bit about that, and what he had told me was pretty much exactly what you just said, is the failure rate is extremely high. He was actually very specific. We couldn't get into it on the radio because we ran out of time, but it's a multi-step program, and he said by the time you get to, I believe it was step four, and at step four in the process is where they have to admit their part of the problem. He said the first three steps, you know, they're always blaming mom, dad, bad childhood, bad this, bad that. He goes about step four, they start asking, you know, the questions of who was part of each and every one of those. And he said it's at that point the success rate goes up. He goes, but most people don't make it to that point. So what you were saying is correct, is the failure rate is actually quite high. But once you get to that step, Adam was saying the success rate actually goes up immensely. So it's kind of a mixed bag. You got to get to that point, and all of a sudden the future is brighter.
He also agreed with me that rehab should be a hand up, not a jail sentence. That, you know, they need to hit bottom, and they've got nowhere else to go.
Yeah.
And they ask for it. This forum they're going to have, speakers include representatives from local nonprofit, that would be the Goodwill, I call it the homeless magnet, and government groups. And you can bet they're going to sell you on how they are going to rehab everybody, and we're just going to have just a wonderful group of homeless running around Reading. They're going to house them in 64-square-foot little houses, and everybody's going to be happy. And I hope it works, but I have my doubts.
Well, Chico is already trying that, and it's not going extremely well down in Chico. And then, of course, because Chico is now realizing they've spent a lot of money, they're being sued again for the homeless people that the Chico is trying to figure another option. And so If somebody can come up with something that has worked somewhere in the world, bring it to us. But I'm not aware of any actual homeless-wide program that has actually worked anywhere in the world.
Well, you know, there's not one answer for the whole problem.
No.
My solution, my thoughts are build a jail and get rid of the criminal homeless. The rest of them will be easier to deal with. You'll separate the ones that want to be homeless from the ones that need a hand up. You'll get the drug addicts out of there. And I just think that, just like you said, nothing's working from Seattle down to San Diego. And I sure hope we're not going to try and do the same thing because it's not working.
Well, speaking of it's not working, I just heard this yesterday. All those great liberal bastions of Democrats, where they all live in squalor and filth. You know, the sanctuary cities for those downtrodden illegals, and they can come there because they'll be safe. Apparently, San Francisco is rethinking their sanctuary status.
You know, and I heard on the news, too, that the illegal aliens are getting $2,150 to live on, where the average Social Security income is a little more than $1,400.
Well, why not?
That leaves a sour taste in a lot of people's mouth because those people on Social Security paid their taxes all their life.
Yep.
And they're squandering our money. But, you know, I was talking to a gal named Linda Batten. She works.
I know Linda.
She's out of the House of Realty. And she brought to my attention that there's a lot of vacant homes that are on the market, maybe going are in escrow and this and that, that are getting broken into. And appliances are getting stolen. They're being thrashed. She told me about one home that had just cleared escrow for her and her client, and the client goes out there, and the lockbox is busted open. I guess they cost $180 a piece, and they've gone in, and they've stole all the appliances, and instead of turning off the water, they busted the plumbing, so it's running all over, and that this is almost epidemic levels in Shasta County. Do you know anything about that, Doug?
I don't know anything about it being epidemic, so let's just back the truck off the cliff a little bit. I mean, I've been doing this for 25 years, but I have been seeing emails going out from agents. One agent that I do work with, her lockbox was cut open. The house, I don't believe, actually was breached, but she had to go through and rekey it, make sure it was secure. Now there's no lockbox on it. So, you know, folks, this is just one of those reverse Ronald Reagan, you know, trickle up economics. It's trickle down poverty. These people are causing havoc everywhere. I mean, I was driving the other day, and underneath the Cypress Street Bridge, up on the top, right at the underneath the freeway deck itself, there must have been 40 people up there. And, you know, these aren't just like, oh, they're downtrodden. They are causing real economic harm to the people who are working really hard to pay their taxes and go to work every day and have a upstanding life. And these programs, and like you're saying about the illegals getting $2,100, it's a cost to society, and it's not a good one. But on the real estate stuff, I'll say I'm not sure it's epidemic, but I have heard a couple times.
Well, I was led to believe that it's quite common up in the Shingletown area, out in the Jones Valley area.
Well, I do know Shingletown. Right before Christmas, the post office became the de facto Amazon UPS delivery center because packages were being stolen right out of the mailboxes. So I do know that that was a true statement up there. I don't know what it is now, but before Christmas, they were having a very hard problem up there.
Well, you were talking about those people underneath the bridge, the 40 of them up there, you know. And right down there where you're at, some guy was going through throwing rocks through windows for no reason at all. One beauty salon there, la-di-da, somebody threw a rock through her window, didn't try and get inside or anything. It was $1,500 to get it replaced. She says, there goes my kid's Christmas right there.
Well, I can tell you, I mean, it's funny, I made the news with old Mike Mangus many years ago, back when this kind of started, thank you, Mr. Obama. I got a call about 10 o'clock one night. My old office used to be right there on Hilltop, and I got a call from my fellow agent. He was driving by, and he used to work for me, so it's, you know, one of those things, you look over at the old office, and there was a big hole in the middle of the glass, and Nick knows the glass because he was our cleaner. And so I go shooting down there, and it's a Sunday night, and there's a big hole and a big rock in the floor, and everything's closed. So my brother and I had to tape up plastic to keep the cold out, and I had to literally sleep in the front door of my office with a loaded gun next to my head because somebody thought they want to rock through. And I think the bill back then, and this was probably got to be 10 years ago, was over $1,000.
You know, and then I see the city of Reading takes, I think it's $1.2 million to make the out of ARPA money to do the riverfront specific plan. ARPA money was meant to help businesses that were having a hard time about COVID. I would have liked to see them take that money and reimburse these businesses that have had broken windows, pay them their expenses for that, because as far as I'm concerned, the city and county are responsible for the havoc that's being rained upon us by the homeless. And well, criminals. Not all homeless are criminals, and there's criminals that are doing this stuff that aren't homeless. But, you know, we need to help our citizens be successful in their businesses to make our city successful, in my opinion.
Well, I'm going to disagree to one extent. Unfortunately, we live in the land of communism, California, with Mussolini as its supreme leader. And before him, we had Idiot Brown. And the liberals have come down with absolutely every conceivable handcuff, blindfold, meaningless law that has really limited the local jurisdiction's ability. And, you know, we've had this jail discussion going now for 10 years and not a thing has been resolved. But yeah, the problem is they keep having to go out to the same people every time. So instead of actually doing cop work, for example, they're arresting the same people day after day after day after day, after, maybe even multiple times in a day.
But Leonard Modi said, we don't need a jail. We've got plenty of beds.
Yeah. Well, and the thing is, there's another great example. Because of federal law, they had to leave, 15% of the jail empty, which makes absolutely no sense. You have to leave it empty to avoid overcrowding, which is, if you're not at 100%, that would ergo be not overcrowding. And then recently Sheriff Johnson closed another part of the jail, and I had a very interesting conversation with somebody, and maybe some of that's going to change, because apparently, Nick, I found out recently that in them olden days, there used to be trained CSOs, community service officers, that did all of the paperwork and filing and the stuff at the jail, which meant that the actual correctional officers, the sworn, peace officers for the system, were basically doing only jail work. They were dealing with the criminals and this and that, but the CSOs were doing the paperwork, the intake. They weren't actually one-on-one with any of the criminals. Well, I guess a number of years back, there was as many as 20-plus CSOs working the jail system. I have it on extremely high authority, and I trust this person, that the discussion with the sheriff was something to this effect as, well, how many CSOs do we have now? One. So what the problem is we have sworn officers that are actually, you know, they carry the gun. They've got the law enforcement behind them. They're actually just pushing paper all day long. That's not what they signed up for. So if this person is correct, the sheriff is hopefully going to take a different tact on the jail and maybe start hiring a bunch of CSOs at a much lower rate than a correctional officer, and maybe we can actually start getting the jail opened back up.
If I was trained to be a deputy sheriff, a police officer, and I went to work for Shasta County and they stuck me behind a desk, I would be dissatisfied.
Oh, yeah. Well, and that's what it was. That's what the conversation pretty much was, is there was a conversation with sheriff staff, and the sheriff staff, was talking about levels and this, that, and how many were actually correctional officers. And then that subject came up, and, it goes back to your comment about the cops and the sheriff. And I agree, it sucks that we have, 10, 12, and if you're in the county, it could be an hour response time, but they're doing the same, they're doing the definition of insanity, doing the same thing every day, expecting a different result. And until the state of California gets their head out of their proverbial dark spot, I'm not sure locally, unless we're willing to revolt, unless we're willing to tell, it's going to come out of lawsuit, and I realize there's never a good solution, but until we take back control the way the Constitution meant for us to take control, we're going to be at the mercy of the Fed and the states, and right now, that's Liberalville utopia.
You know, we've got a county, a board of county supervisors that are showing a little bit of backbone.
Yeah.
At least a few of them.
Yep.
You know, I would encourage everybody to go to the board of supervisors website and click on meetings and video meetings. And it'll come up and it'll show the meeting from February 7th. If you go 1 hour in, you'll see Kevin Cry question items on the consent calendar. And he makes a really, really good point. And this goes on for 10 or 15 minutes. And I see Tim Garman and Mary Rickert kind of questioning why he's doing that, not really going along. And Kevin's saying, you know, I don't want to put my name on something I don't understand. I just want a couple weeks to investigate and make sure this is the avenue we want to go. So I would encourage everybody to go to that. It's real easy to find.
Well, you know, the consent agenda in many cases is complete utter BS because it's prepared by the county departments. It's in multiple hundred pages documents. And the reality is most of the time, and rarely none of the time, is it lowering budgets or laying people off. It's always we need more money, we need this, and it becomes a consent agenda item that they just, you know, this is routine, we need to raise the budget this, we need to allocate that. And so I applaud Kevin for saying, hey, let's do this a little different. Let's actually look at this crap.
Yes, absolutely. You know, if you recall the home key program that Donnell Ewert slipped in the agenda,
yep.
The supervisors didn't even know it was happening until Les Ball's wife down in Anderson said, what'd you guys sign this for?
Yeah. Project Home Key. I was made aware of it by Patrick Jones, and I was in his shop buying a gun or ammo or something. And he's like, hey, you're a realtor. Have you ever heard of Project Home Key? And I'm like, no. He goes, you really got to look into that. And I think this was right before he got elected, as a matter of fact. And I go, okay, well, I bite. What is it? He goes, well, the county just got, like, I think it was $2.1 or $2.5 million. And this was a number of years ago, about 4 or 5 years ago, before the market went nuts. And I go, okay. And he goes, to buy houses in residential neighborhoods. Okay, that's government buying houses. That's not cool. To house homeless people.
And then on top of that, that house reverts back and it's privately owned.
Oh, I didn't know that part.
Yeah, the county doesn't own it anymore. I think some nonprofit or a bunch of bleeding hearts take over.
Oh, well, I just know that, you know, I raised holy hell about it at our board of realtors that we needed to look into it. Of course, we didn't. The reality is, imagine you own the houses on the left, the right, and across the street, and there's a new neighbor, and it turns out the new neighbor is a revolving door of homeless people. I bet those people are real happy.
Or sex offenders.
Or anything.
Or ex-cons.
And that's
parolees.
That's the problem. And so the consent agenda, you know, that's an example of something that slips through and nobody knew what it was. And of course the head of the, department didn't take the time to actually explain what the hell it was.
He didn't want to.
Well, that's the whole point.
You know, and this is a good example of bureaucrats making laws or slipping something through, and you've got supervisors or people of importance that just rubber stamp it and say okay and not really understanding what they're doing.
Well, yeah, because the people that are in charge of those departments are not going to go and say, this is a really bad plan. We're really going to go waste a lot of money.
State's going to give us the money for it. It's not our money, Nick. It's not Redding's money.
It's not Redding's money. And you know, that's one of the worst things. Like I said on the radio the other day, I believe it was with Carl, and he corrected me, but REU is offering incentives and subsidies to people to buy electric bikes and electric solar systems and even electric cars. Stop it. If it was really worth a damn, they would support themselves. People would freely choose to buy a $2,500 electric bike. People would really choose to spend the real money for a $60,000 solar system. People would really choose to pay the real markup price on a Tesla, which in the beginning was nearly $100,000+, and that was after a 35% rebate of tax money. Every time you hear the word it's from the government or it's a rebate, it's money that's being taken from someone else to benefit someone else. It's a great plan.
Well, you know, Donnell, he won't be doing that anymore because he retired due to the political climate in Shasta County.
Yes, accountability. I find that when you have rats that are being looked at, they're like cockroaches. The light goes on and they just freeze, thinking nobody can see them.
I'm going to retire.
Yeah, and he saw the writing on the wall that he might actually fall under scrutiny, and he called it a day.
He came up with another dishonest piece about the homeless and jails down in San Antonio. I've talked about it many times, so I'm not going to tell about it again, but it took him 2 years to come up with an excuse, and I think Mary Rickard prodded him along. Somebody else told me that. Here you've got a guy making $200,000, and somebody else told me.
Yeah.
You know, it's just ridiculous. So, yeah, people should start paying attention to our county supervisors. There's a meeting, I think it's Tuesday night at 5:30, and that'll be talked about on the other shows, I believe. But we've got some people in there with backbone. You were talking to one of the supervisors about something about zoning or
what? Oh, yeah.
Why don't you go ahead and let us know what that was all about?
Well, I met with a tall drop of a human being called Chris Kellstrom, and as a constituent, to him and I got talking. And back when he was running, I offered my services as a realtor with 25 years and 1,000 closed escrows, and having had crossed swords with the county building department, I offered to help him revamp the building department. New codes, new ways, new procedures for dealing with stuff. And so him and I had a great conversation about things, and he enlightened me on a number of things that has already happened, because he has sat in on the building department's meetings, and when they look up and see a 6'7" guy there, and they know that he means business. And it's not that Chris, I'm not even really saying anything. I'm just listening. But all of a sudden they're like, is that acceptable? And he's like, well, yeah, that's perfectly acceptable. But there are a number of ideas I ran past him, that said, hey, I want to help. This is how we can improve it. Let me be on a committee. Let me be an advisor, because the building department really is bad at the Shasta County. It's getting better, but they've had some really dubious inspectors. They charge $7,000 for a lot split application, for which they may deny you, and it's non-refundable. I want to know what that $7,000 is buying. I want to know to the minute, the second, and the penny, when you submit for a lot split, what is $7,000? I want to know every department, every hand, how much time is spent on it, because that's ridiculous. $7,000 for them to look at paperwork that's already done by an engineer and a surveyor? $7,000, and they can decline your application to subdivide your property or move the lot over.
And they might just not like you.
Well,
your idea might be too good. We'll just deny that.
Well, and I'll tell you, and this is, I don't want to get anybody in trouble, but I know that there is a person in our government that is in the process, or has been in the process, of trying to do something on his large property out in the Millville area, and it has been a nightmare what the county and the Corps of Engineers and has done to this gentleman. It's beyond. And then you throw in the criminal Shasta Land Trust, and you've really got yourself a cahoots at the building department.
Is that where you offset ferry shrimp ponds?
That's one of the, in my personal opinions, and this may cause some consternation, and I don't really care because I stand by it and I believe it, I think it's a criminal organization. It's Glenn Hawes and Russ Moll put this thing together. Never existed before, but apparently they thought it was a grand idea, because Hawes owns so much land that if Nick wanted to do something on his 10 acres and there was one area that was designated as water, seasonal water, wetlands, whatever. They said, Nick, you can't build on that because you have wetlands. However, for a couple $100,000, we can set aside the same amount of property on Glenn Hawes' property, and then you can do what you want on your property. And Glenn Hawes still gets to use his acre as if nothing happened. And I really am publicly stating, I want the grand jury to look into that, because that is a racket that, if by any other name, would be mafia.
And to add to that, nobody else can do that, just Glenn Hawes.
That's right. Interesting. Ding, 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 ding. Winner, winner, chicken dinner.
So, the board needs to put a website up there showing some of these changes, showing
yes.
some of the things they're pursuing, because I wouldn't know about it if you didn't bring it up.
Well, I'll give you one of the ones that I think is extremely positive, is the county has been very punitive and, in my opinion, quite overarching communist. If you wanted to put a solar system on your county property, so let's go to the county. I'm not going to include the city yet, because I'm not versed enough to compare it, but I think it was similar for a while. But the county did have a policy that if they showed up to your property out on Street X in the middle of the county, and you wanted a solar and they showed up and you had a Costco carport, you had an above ground pool, you had a 14 by 18 shed, they would tell you they're not going to let you do the solar until you bring that to compliance. And you're like, yeah, but it's just an above-ground pool. Well, you need to have a permit, and we need this. And I mean, really, seriously, that's how screwed up our government is. You need a permit for an above-ground temporary pool. Think about that. How stupid is that? But I digress. They used to do that. Chris says that new policy that they've implemented, now this might predate him. I'm not going to say he's the cause because I don't want to give too much credit. But now the policy is if you're pulling a permit on something, they're only allowed to go look at that something. They're not allowed to red tag you for anything else.
So but in their peripheral vision, they see a little structure over there that might not be permitted. They might show up 2 or 3 months later and say, hey.
Chris actually told me a story of a constituent that had that happen. The county showed up, and the inspector was just a real jerk. I know who the inspector is, so I won't mention who it was, but I just say he's a jerk and he's got a reputation of being a jerk. And, you know, the constituent was telling the inspector, you have no right to look at anything. You're here for this solar system. Yeah, but that you have no right. And finally, the inspector backed down, and he was able to get his solar. So everybody's happy, right? 2 months later, he gets a notice of a non-compliance and a violation and a fining procedure, and he was all of a sudden in the sights of code enforcement. Now, code enforcement, it only works if there's a consumer complaint. In other words, you turn me in, I turn you in. Nobody turned this guy in. So who turned this guy into code enforcement that caused this process?
I wonder if the person has the right to know who turned him in.
Well, that would be open and transparent government. Who is the one who filed that complaint? And, I mean, if you're willing to go through a FOIA, I guess you could do that, Freedom of Information Act. But that's the kind of stuff our county has been doing, and it's wrong. They work for – I mean, I was expressed with Chris, and we'll get back after the break, but I was expressed with Chris. They work for us. They are our employees. We are their boss, and they're here to help us, not to punish us.
Well, I hope they will look at some relief for people that bought a home that had something existing on it that wasn't permitted.
I'll talk about that after the break.
After Maddie's Minute.
There you go.
Okay, break time.
30 years ago, Simpson University arrived in Redding with a promise to serve the North State. Warmly welcomed by this far Northern California community, we forged lasting partnerships, serving our neighbors locally as well as globally. Building on our promise, Simpson University now offers over 20 degree programs. Our promise to be the gateway to world service begins in our backyard. Learn more about Redding's hometown university at simpsonu.edu.
Hi, this is Brian Martin, General Manager of River Commons, an independent senior living community. I'm excited to share with you an exclusive program we are currently offering at River Commons called our Moderate Income Program. This is an in-house program offered by Raystone Senior Living. Those who financially qualify for this program will receive a reduced monthly rate. This rate still includes all of our regular services and amenities. Included in the monthly rent are 3 chef-prepared meals daily, weekly housekeeping and linen services, scheduled transportation, activities, utilities, cable TV, an emergency medical pendant, and more. Our community also has a very friendly family feel, all set on beautiful grounds with scenic views. To learn more about our moderate income program, schedule a tour, or lunch plus a tour, please give us a call at 530-221-2121. You can also visit us on our web at river-commons.com. We look forward to hearing from you.
What is happening in the state of Jefferson? To find out, listen to the Jefferson State of Mind program Sunday mornings at 9 a.m. on KCNR with your hosts Wing Carpenter and Terry Raposa. To catch up on past broadcasts or to listen anytime, go to KCNR1460.com and click on the archives link.
ACA, come out and play. Have you seen the bill? We all have to pay. The time has come for 51 in a Jefferson State of Mind.
Poke the Hornet's Nest. We're back with Minutes with Maddie. Maddie, good morning.
Good morning.
Give us our 3 minutes, the update on what's going on in our country.
Oh, my Lord, the pressure. Okay. Again, I just want to say we're in the final month of this strategic, huge, historic, biblical plan of God to remove evil from the earth, the deep state, who's been running most countries and most part of society. They have been mostly removed the last 5 years, and we're in the final move. So God and the good guys are winning, 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 though it might not seem so, because this is a mostly a covert operation. But know that, you know, the white hats are in control, and we're headed to the most amazing times on earth. So with this whole thing, it's really helpful. I wanted to help your listeners to know where to go so they can start learning about this and knowing what's going on and listening to Q followers that are sharing about the news, because they know what the plan of Q is, and some of them have white hat intel, you know, that they know and through their research, because mainstream media has been, you know, run by the deep state forever. And the white hats, I believe, are in a lot of control of it, but still, you're not getting all the truth there and stuff. And so I just wanted to quickly, you know, a minute, go through the, you know, things that your listeners will be wowed out and encouraged and given a lot of hope if they just check this stuff out. If they go to bitchute.com, BITCHUTE.com, and Google Q, the plan to save the world. This Q top military clearance team, they started posting posts 5 years ago, and they showed us the plan. If you read the first 200 posts, you know what's going on. So this is like the big, you know, 40,000 up big plan. Q, the plan to save the world. Also, the channel on BitChute called Fall Cabal. Fall Cabal, because this cult is called the Cabal. The first 10 episodes show you kind of the recent cabal of the Gates and the Rockefellers and Rothschilds and such, the media, Pizzagate, that kind of jazz. So the first 10 episodes of that. Then if you go over to, and then also the sequel to The Fall Cabal, that's on BitChute, the sequel to The Fall of the Cabal. And it goes back to the birth of it, the Luciferian bloodline families in the beginning of, you know, worshiping Lucifer and child sacrifice and all that crap that's been going on forever, that we just haven't known so much. It's in the Bible, too. But anyway, then if you go over to Rumble.com, Rumble, R-U-M-B-L-E.com, and it's fascinating. If you go to the channel Soul Worthy, S-O-U-L, Worthy, they have 11,000. Usually the ones that are really good have a lot of followers, so 11,000 followers. Check out the timeline, Trump, Donald Trump, The Great Awakening. This is called The Great Awakening. So go on Soul Worthy. It's called The Timeline, Donald Trump, Q, and The Great Awakening. And it shows how after Trump was recruited by this Q team.
That's our 3 minutes. We'll wrap her up, Maddie.
Is that it?
3 minutes.
This is not enough.
Okay, we'll finish up next week. We'll have another Maddie's Minute. You got something you want to finish up with real quick?
just have supplies, you know, have 3 weeks of food and water, cash. You know, the transition can be the stock market crash, a fake war with Russia, whatever. God and the good guys are in control, and they're moving us into a new world. So, yeah. Wow, that goes fast.
Thank you. Thanks for calling, Maddie.
Take care. Bye.
Okay. Doug was going to tell us about, code enforcement. If you bought a place that had non-coded additions to it?
Well, yeah. So, Chris, one of the suggestions I made to Chris is that we deal with in real estate is over the years, people have converted garages. They've added two-car garages. They've done patios and whatever, and they've been there for 15, 20, 30 years. They've been through snowstorms. They've been through wind things. You know, they are, if they're not, you know, overbuilt, a lot of times I find that a lot of home boat builders who try to do it themselves, many try to overbuild it so they know it doesn't break. There are some, you know, half-assed jobs, obviously, that should be torn down. But I was suggesting to Chris that they come up with a new way of doing as-built, because the thing is, if you get discovered today, Nick, and you converted something or made something 28 years ago, the only way you're going to get it permitted is you have to bring it up to 2023 code.
It's my understanding most of the time they make you tear it out and start over.
Well, I mean, they make you cut open walls. Is it anchored? They dig down to the foundation, everything else. And my point with Chris was simply this. If they can go back and say, okay, it was discovered, because I got to tell you, the ninjas, the true communist ninjas that are actually really good guys, believe it or not, is the assessor's office. They do not talk to the building department. They just want to tax you. That's all they want. They just want money. So, you know, I've had to go investigate properties, and they will have found things that were done, and the people didn't even know that it was discovered. And then you go back and look at their records, and they go, oh, yeah, well, we have a note from an inspector that it was da-da-da, and it's measured, and they're like, how the hell did they get on the property? Well, they never did. So if somebody were to try and bring something up or got caught with an unpermitted thing, go look at it. If it's been there for 20 years, it's been through Snowmageddon. It's been through 60-mile or 70-mile-an-hour gust winds. It's been through the earthquake on Christmas or Thanksgiving Day in 1998. If it's still standing, it's probably okay. It's probably not going to do it. And maybe put some verbiage in there that says something to the effect, it was discovered, now there's built up to code, not blah, 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 but the county now recognizes it as a legal structure. Something. Another thing that I suggested to Chris that is done outside of California, because California is just loving communist dictatorship, is in other jurisdictions around the country, if Nick shows up to the building department with a set of stamped engineered plans from a licensed engineer in the state and shows up and has it there, the building department opens up the tube, rolls out the plans, looks at the stamp, verifies that the engineer is in good standing, rolls the pants back up, puts them in the tube, and you're ready with your building permit. That is their plan check. They're checking to see was the engineer in good standing. The county has the horrible reputation you can submit your plans. They might get to it in 6 weeks. They might get to it in 8 weeks. They might get to it in 10 weeks. And then you have these people who are now over or un-engineering what an engineer was willing to put their license on the line. And I said to Chris, I think any time that the county makes a change to an engineered plan, it should come with a disclaimer. The county is now responsible for the set of plans.
You know, I own a piece of property. It's 1.2 acres right behind my house. It has a 12-inch, 110-foot deep well on it. And I wanted to put a little 10-by-10 structure over it because it's just a big tank out in the middle, and it would look better if it had, and I could put rakes and garden implements in it. And I called up the county, and I said, yeah, I've got this. And you can put anything 10-by-10 on it without a permit. And I told him, okay, well, I said, there's nothing on that. Oh, no. If there's no buildings existing on this piece of property, you've got to get a permit. And the building you put on there has to be engineered, and it has to have a California stamp on it, and it has to have this, and it has to have that. And all I wanted to do was put something that looked like an outhouse on it.
Well, and that's the problem. That is government in a nutshell. It's gotten so corrupt, so for itself, that you are being told what to do with your own property. And Chris brought up a great story, and I'll just beat on Chris because it was great to have lunch with him. But he talks about a friend of his who did something in Tehama County. No permit, didn't even need to set plans. County could care less. He had a friend trying to do pretty much the same thing on this side of Cottonwood Creek in Shasta County, and he is still going through the plan check phase months later. And the other guy already built his structure in Tehama County, and it wasn't a problem at all. And that's just an example of, the buildings that fell and collapsed during the earthquake at the Loma Prieta and in Los Angeles, everyone was stamped and engineered, and they failed. All right? Building codes are there to give you a guide, and they're generally good. They're for the safety. But the reality is, I mean, we build up here to a code structure that is close to the same as the Bay Area. We don't have the same soil. We don't have the same geology. We don't have the same seismic issues they have.
But I've got the same neighbors from San Francisco.
There you go. So I told Chris I'd love to work with him on that project and make the building department much more user-friendly so that instead of people being afraid to go to the county, they hold their hand up and say, hey, I've got this issue. How can we fix it? Let's make it happen. I don't want to have to deal with this down the road. And I've got an agent that I'm working with, and she and I had a big discussion. This guy in town – had bought a nice property, but it had a whole basement. Well, he converted the whole basement without a permit. Now he wants to sell it, and he wants to know why he can't get full value. Well, you didn't get a permit. You didn't. I don't care how nice you made it, it's not permitted. And so for a buyer, the risk is you buy it, and down the road, they will pull a permit for something, a new heating and air unit, and they get red tagged, and the city could either fine them or make them take it out. So there are some things that, you know, getting the permit alleviates a lot of downstream problems. Nick's speechless. He doesn't know what to say after that.
Well, you know, the thing is, Big Brother is supposed to be our friend.
Well, no, Big Brother's not. Government was supposed to be Small Brother. It has turned into overwhelming Gorilla Brother.
And, you know, well, I wanted to come back to the two new supervisors, Kevin Cry and Chris Kellstrom. You know, we've got people in there that are looking for solutions, whereas we've had people in the past that just make excuses. It's our way or the highway.
Yep.
And it's refreshing to see the attempt to be accountable to the constituents.
Well, I mean, I want to go down this little rabbit hole for a second, if you allow me, Nick. I asked the Mr. esteemed Kellstrom if he could do me a favor as a constituent. We have been lied, blackmailed, blackballed, intimidated, told that we're crazy. And maybe some of that's true in your case, but in my case, I try to be sane. And I asked Chris if he could go to the health department and ask him to look at the very first designated COVID death until the last one and have them verify all deaths, only a couple hundred, and basically verify whether they died with multiple comorbidities or did they die of COVID, and come out with a true representation of how many people died of COVID or died with COVID. Because we've been told, and for every night for 2 years, the news was like, oh, and 10 people today. And wait, it's all a lie. There was not that many people that actually really died of COVID. They died with comorbidities. Even the CDC admitted up to 75 to 80% in their admission, which means it's probably closer to 90, did not die of COVID. They died with COVID. So I've asked Chris if he could do that just as a thing to say, hey, let's set the record straight. If people really did die of COVID, let's know it. Let's figure that out. But don't count people who had the heart attack or the car accident and they tested positive and claimed that it was a COVID death. Let's actually clear that thing so we can move forward and realize the number of deaths attributed to COVID were very minimal. But to top on that, before I get back to you, I called into Carl Bott's show the other day, and I think I put Sheriff Johnson on the spot. And I basically indicated to Mr. Johnson that I would love to see when they have a coroner death and it's been determined that the death is a heart attack by myocarditis, which is now overwhelmingly known to be caused by the jab. Perfectly young, healthy people or middle-aged people are dying in mass. If you don't believe me, we'll talk about it at the next show. But there's a thing called suddenly dead or sudden death, and you can find it on the line. But basically, it's just a documentary explaining how these people just literally from one day to the next died, and they were healthy. One thing that they all had in common was they had the jab in the last week to a month. Well, my point of view is this, is if you had a local deli and the deli was serving food, and after the food, within a couple days, people started dying. Old, young, fat, skinny, male, female, it's, they's, whatever's. And the only thing they had in common, the only thing was the food at that deli. Don't you think that would be worth a criminal investigation? So I suggested to the sheriff that they do exactly the same thing, and if they have some myocarditis in their research, find out if there was a jab. I suggested he file criminal murder charges against the Big Pharma and Fauci, because now their protection is no longer protection. They've got product protection, but they can't murder people, and they are murdering people, and they know it, and it's getting proven more and more every day.
You know, the princess in Thailand, she's in a coma. And this is a big deal. They are raising hell with China over the COVID and the COVID jab. And this princess was loved like it's your daughter. the whole country loved her. I guess she was beautiful, elegant, everybody. And she's in a coma and probably going to die because of the jab. And, boy, there's some international hard feelings going on right there. Boy, it's looking really spooky with Vladimir Putin. I hope Madeline's right and it's all a show. Yeah.
Yeah. No, there's a speech. I'll just give our listeners a heads up. There's a major speech coming up on February 21st from old Vladdy. And what he's going to discuss is speculated, but basically he's going to give the West the big finger and tell us that we better do X and Y or else he's going to do A and Z. I said it on the radio back when the war started and all this pro-Ukraine and blue and yellow and let's all cry for Ukraine. I did research early on, and I discovered that Ukraine really is not a very good nation. They're a terrible nation. They have the most corrupt government of any, except for Burma. I mean, if that's what your basis is, they're the second most corrupt, correct?
Where do we go in there? Are we third or fourth?
Well, I'm sure we're probably making top 10 under this administration, but this was not a situation where Russia just attacked a neighbor for no reason at all. There was reasons, and I said at the beginning of this, Vladimir Putin may not be seen in history as the sole bad person. I'm not defending him. I'm just saying straight up that there are facts that are now coming out, such as there has been multiple peace accords attempted with the Russians and Zelensky, and the West and European Union keep telling him not to take as his country is being demolished. Now, if we listen to Maddie's going to say that it's a psych ops and it's being used with computer generation. I'm not sure. I hope she's right.
I hope she's right, too. Hey, we've got a clip explaining Vladimir Putin's position. Could we play that? Here we go. 3, 2.
Hello, everybody. This is Paul from Off-Grid Desert Farming with Paul and Adrian. This is February the 16th, Thursday, 2023.
We were supposed to start into
And we have an emergency alert for you guys. And I don't do this. You know, a lot of people, oh, why do you say emergency alert? Folks, because we're on the verge of World War III breaking out, with millions of people dying. That's why I put these emergency alerts out and these urgent warnings. I don't do it for clicks, folks. I do it because things are about to go down in the world. And if I just put a title, hey, if you don't have anything else to do, watch our video. How many people are going to watch? I'm trying to get your attention so maybe I can save your life. Maybe you can be prepared for what is about to happen. And it looks like the SHIT is about to happen, folks. It's about to go down. Now, we have reports coming in today. We have reports coming in from several different sources. I'm going to show you those sources that World War III is about to break out, and I do believe tactical nuclear weapons are going to be used in the coming weeks. This is not, I don't think, months away. This is not years away. I think it's going to happen later this month, early into March. I put out a video. We were talking about the 3 days of darkness, and I told you about a dream I had.
Hey, Nathan.
I told you about a dream I had. It's been
was there a time on that?
Yeah, let me fix that real quick here.
Well, while we're waiting.
I told you, God gave me a dream, and I was walking through this.
I think we started.
Make your comment real quick.
Yeah. Oh, I was going to say, I mean, not only this gentleman, folks, this is not this one guy right here. We'll pick up with what Nick wanted to play, but go to redacted.inc. They also are just on top of it, and there are multiple verifiable sources saying that there's some real big news coming this direction, so we'll get back to the clip. But this guy, he sounds a little country-ified, but I'm telling you, there's a lot of truth to what he's saying if you just dig a little on your own. Back to the clip.
Right. On this new invasion, we have confirmation from a YouTube channel that I'm really not familiar with. I don't think I've ever watched it, but somebody sent me the email. We also have information from Canadian Prepper that the Chinese are getting ready thousands of these balloons to launch over Taiwan and even the United States. They have a balloon strategic force of thousands of balloons that they can put up in the atmosphere, 60,000 to 80,000 feet, that we cannot shoot down, that our airplanes cannot reach. Only our missiles can reach these balloons and inundate our country with a low-tech balloon attack. We have videos coming in from the Polish-Ukrainian border that the United States military is sending Abrams tanks. Germany is sending Abrams tanks right now to the Polish border, Romanian border. NATO is about to get fully engaged in Ukraine because Ukraine has basically lost the war, folks. Ukraine has lost the war, and now NATO is going to have to come to their rescue. But by doing that, they're going to trigger Russia. They're going to trigger the wrath of Vladimir Putin because all the red lines have been crossed already. The United States and NATO has crossed Russia's red lines months ago, folks. They've crossed their lines. They ignored the warning. You know, Putin and Russia has warned NATO over and over again, do not cross our red lines. We are not bluffing. Do not cross our red lines. We are not bluffing. And NATO and the United States have ignored Russia's red lines. So now we're fixing to get into a nuclear war, I believe, with tactical nuclear weapons at the start, as soon as NATO invades Ukraine to try to save Ukraine from being conquered totally by Russia. It's coming, folks. This is coming.
Why would we want to save Ukraine?
I don't like it. I don't want our country destroyed. Our psychopathic...
So why would we want to save Ukraine?
Well, and you know, another thing that is happening is the distraction technique. Last week, Russia, for the first time ever, flew 30 jets and 2 bombers over Alaskan airspace. Why would they do that at this exact moment? What's going on?
And sent their submarine out with nuclear weapons
their
on
it. Their entire northern fleet left the base loaded with their nuclear weapons for the first time in their history.
I'm not buying the balloon story.
You know what? That's the problem. Is misinformation is now information, so trying to scatter through the chaff is tough. But I can tell you, the more I have read about what Ukraine has done to the Eastern Ukrainians and to Russia and what Ukraine stands for, I said it early on in the war. I said I don't think Vladimir is going to be viewed as history, the total bad guy here. I'm not saying he's a hero or something, but I think that the it is going to hit the fan. I think that NATO has pushed, you know, they have poked the hornet's nest way too much.
The way I read about the CIA and the operations we've been involved in, going all the way back to Vietnam, looking at Peru, we were involved in assassinations, the way we've been treating other countries.
Hey, we killed John F. Kennedy for crying out loud. I mean, we killed our own president. That's what our defense industry has done, CIA. So I don't put anything past these guys. At all. I mean, that information came out a couple months ago when they released some of the CIA files, and there was almost in a complete admission they were involved in the JFK assassination. It was their plot. So here we are, and we're looking at Russia. I firmly believe, Nick, that our government is capable of anything.
Well, it seems like a good time to back off for me.
Well, the problem is they've pushed the bear into the corner. I mean, they have got it to where he has no choice. And again, if you do research or you want us to talk about it a little bit more, I've got more details. I'm not an expert, but I have tried to really get ahead of this and see what were the sources and causes for this conflict. And I am going to say it's about 99% NATO cause, with America being the push behind it.
And they're not even giving Vladimir an avenue to escape.
Well, that's it. Well, the thing is, they painted him into a corner. He did what anybody in that corner would have done, is come out swinging. And now he's getting the upper hand, and they now got to try to put him back in the corner. And I don't think he's going to go.
And I was reading, too, that we're about out of weapons.
England and Germany have publicly stated they have one day's worth of NATO arsenal. One day, folks. Publicly stated. This is not right-wing conspiracy. They have come out and said that they have given so much ammunition to Ukraine, they've depleted their stocks to they've got one operational day of ammunition.
Boy, that's what you want to tell the enemy, isn't
yeah.
it?
Yeah. You know, Obama was good about that. He was telling the Muslims all the time where we were going to go long before so they could be prepared for us and cause more casualties. So,
well, we must be overstocked. We can send F-16s up there and circle a balloon for a couple of days and then shoot it down with a $400,000 missile.
Oh, they're just going to take it out of your paycheck, Nick, so that's all that really matters.
Well, they're going to – my paycheck isn't that big anymore. Are we running out of time?
Nick, it has been another fast hour with you, my friend. It's down to the last couple minutes and or minute. I am going to be racing and hopefully keep the car the shiny side up and the ugly side down.
Yeah, and I hope you guys do real well. I've got a dilemma here. They sent me a check from a class action suit in my wife's name, and I don't know whether to forge it and deposit it or not. It's for 16 cents, and it's check number 416,090. That's how many checks went out, at least till they got to this one. There's probably more. Let that be a lesson. These class action suits never pay off. 16 cents, folks. It probably cost them 50 cents to print this.
The news from Town Hall is brought to you on KCNR Shasta Reading by Shasta Regional Medical Center. Your life, your health, your choice. Shasta Regional Medical Center.